everyone. Welcome to Yachting International Radio. You're with Corinne Rayson from The Crew Coach on the Wellbeing Project. Today, I am welcoming and introducing you to Captain Tom, and he is nominated as one of the candidates for the Masters Unlimited. Is that correct, Tom? Have I got it right?
That is correct.
Excellent.
I don't know how it happened, but I'm happy to be here.
Well, lovely to have you here. And I know Tom also has a passion for technology and sustainability. He is the fifth generation coming into the sailing world, if I could use that terminology. I would love to hear your background, Tom. I know that maybe you first, I think, stepped on board when you were 4 years old.
That is correct, yes.
Yeah. So tell me about that.
I was, I have some vague memories about it. After all, it's a few years ago. My father was sailing, and he was the chief officer at the time. My mother took me with her on board to visit my father. I think the trip was close to 8 to 9 months sailing worldwide. I have a picture of myself. It's hanging on my mother's wall. Me in a tiny captain's uniform that they had made for me. And that was taken on the back on the pool deck on that vessel. And as it happened, more than 30 years later, I was the captain of the sister ship of that vessel. I had the picture taken in the captain's uniform at the same location.
I can't believe.
And I sent it to my mother.
that was
quite a funny thing to be a part of. Yeah.
That's very memorable as well. Goodness.
She has both of those hanging up on the
each other
on the wall at home. So
wow. And that's the power of manifestation for you in action.
Well, it kind of I couldn't really have become anything else, could I? it was really a nice thing to be able to give her those two pictures with all the time that had gone in between. And that was also that vessel's last trip, so I had it on the last trip, so it was kind of a closed circle, was closed in a way, you know.
yes. Okay, so Tom, with regards to your nomination, obviously you said it was a bit of a surprise to you. Why do you think you were nominated?
I'm not even sure who nominated me. Mm. I've heard some rumors that it was more than one.
Mm.
So I believe it was due to the 150-meter project that I was involved in, and the sustainability there, zero emission, a lot of technical things that we tried to put into the yacht, both scientifically, that was going to be mapping and exploring and those kind of technological solutions. But also on propulsion, and it was solar power, it was fuel cell, it was recycling of material.
Incredible.
Greenhouse on board, growing your own stuff while you were sailing. So I believe that and hope that it was a combination of the technology that we wanted to put on and the solutions that we were trying to implement, and how I was leading the crew as well, because we had a quite a large number of people involved in the project. So I'm hoping it's a combination.
Yeah, well, it sounds like it most likely is that, based on what you described to me. So is that vessel on water, is it cruising at the moment?
No, unfortunately, the owner got COVID following with subsequently bad health,
And pass it.
and the project was canceled.
Oh no.
So yeah, it was quite devastating. It was going to be a superb vessel, but hopefully somebody else can pick up the ideas, and if any one of the listeners want to pick up a 150-meter exploration and a scientific project mixed with a private yacht with all the toys and bells and whistles, they are free to contact me on that one.
That would be my dream vessel to work on if I was crew again. I would love that. A vessel with purpose.
Yeah, it's it was unlimited. It was icebreaking capabilities, and mapping capabilities, submarines, ROVs, really a state-of-the-art vessel that I think would have made a big impact on the yachting industry for sure. And some of the crew as well was devastated when the project was canceled, but we've had very seasoned people that had been in the yachting industry for 15 years that said they had never experienced anything like it.
I'm sure.
So and that's something that you might wanna interview next, is the person nominee, Samantha Watson. She was also involved in that project, so maybe you can have a talk to her as well from kind of from a purser view of the things, what was happening. Yeah.
Yeah, I actually went to school with Sam Watson. She was a year above me.
Okay.
Yeah, small
All
world.
right. All right. Yeah. So you're from down on the neck of the woods where she's from as well.
I live in Australia now, but yes, I'm from Durban, South Africa.
Oh, okay. One of my favorite towns, actually.
Oh, really? Oh, that's good to
Yeah.
hear. Oh,
I got good friends down there.
awesome. So now, Tom, tell me about leadership. What does leadership mean to you?
Leadership, in my eyes, is, to put it easy, is when you don't have to do anything. Because your crew, you leadership starts with choosing the right persons and letting them do what they're good at. And I believe that that is where it comes in. Obviously, you need to be there for their support, both mentally and morally, and all of that. But I would say that senior crew, head of departments, senior crew, also management companies, and those of such, are more aware today than, let's say, they were much more aware than they were only 5 years ago. And we have now got good tools to help us. But leadership is there to take care of your crew. And like I've said, a captain cannot function without a crew, but a crew could function without a captain. And if you look at it that way, and are a little bit humble in what you should do, and that is to lead the crew, I believe that everyone would benefit from it. So letting people know that you're there for them and supporting them, and well, sometimes also putting them in their place, yes. But I would say support is the best leadership skill.
Support. Okay. So, how would you use the skill of mentoring and coaching on board?
Oh, that's difficult. It is individual, because each person have a different way of learning and adapting to knowledge. Mm. So it's balancing the firm but strict and with the human side of things, and making sure that people are in a good state emotionally and mentally. And that obviously is different from when you're talking to senior officers, or you're talking to a rather fresh deckhand or stewardess.
Mm-hmm.
So, a senior officer has already gone through all the basics and climbed the ladder for some years, and they know what is expected. And for them, it's more a thing of coaching them into the next steps and giving them the opportunity to get the chance of doing those things. Let's say navigational officers given the chance to actually handle the boat and doing jobs that are one step up, so they are prepared for that step.
Okay.
For fresh crew that are just starting out, it's more of doing the training with safety and what pitfalls to look out for and what to do and what to don't.
Mm-hmm.
So it's that's maybe something I'm missing in the superyacht industry. A set of requirements that you should have done before entering a boat, because you could come straight off the dock without any qualifications whatsoever and go on a yacht.
What sort of qualifications would you be looking for as a captain?
Well, I would have loved if the industry could have properly done safety training, safety awareness, and also some mental preparedness for what yachting is. There is a lot of young crew coming on board that does know very little about what this really is. They have a glorified image of sailing into the sunset with a pina colada in their hands, and that happens only 1% of the time. So to have them prepare a little bit more for the initial shell shock of coming on board and getting into an active boat with a lot of work would have been something that could have been a benefit for the whole industry.
Yeah, absolutely. And I can hear that hard skills is very important to you for a crew to upskill in particular areas so that they can be more proficient in their role. What about soft skills? What is your understanding of soft skills and emotional intelligence?
Well, I would say that as I mentioned before, with people being different, and some are better prepared to handle those kind of things, and the intimacy of living in close quarters and limited communication at time, and missing home, missing family members or their pets or whatever. And I would say talking to people and seeing the signs of someone that needs a little bit of mental support could also be health-wise, is very important. And luckily now we have a lot of good training programs for making that. And I know yourself as well is a big push, the leader in pushing that forward. So that is highly appreciated.
Mm. So do you think in order for crew to move up the ranks, they should be doing leadership training or courses or professional development or personal development courses?
Or do you yes, necessary? some more than others.
Mm-hmm.
Some more than others. And I, for getting up to to the license level that I have, which is unlimited, obviously then you need to go to commercial schools and such. So we get a lot of our training that is incorporated into the schools and the training. However, on the yacht masters and those kind of licenses, you not necessarily get that. There is a lot of companies now that is starting to develop it and have those incorporated, like the Crew Academy and of such with Andrew and the boys there, that is highly welcomed because even though people like myself needs training and developing, and the day you stop learning, you're a danger to yourself and others around you. You're never completely educated. So you need to. Everybody needs to learn on a daily basis, I would say. Yeah.
Yeah. So on that topic of learning, if you don't mind me asking you, what do you think your failures have been as a captain, and how have you learned from these failures?
How much time do we have?
The employer or viewer asks you, what are your biggest
Yeah, that's the favorite question of mine. What's your biggest flaws and failures? I would say that admitting that you have them is a big step, and it varies. It can be something simple as overseeing and being a little bit neglectful when junior crews are suffering and relying on the heads of department to take care of it. Instead of going there and seeing it yourself. So I would say that awareness is something that I'm working on personally, trying to learn and see. Yeah, I'm not saying I'm bad at it, but I definitely could learn more. And then one of the biggest challenge as a captain is balancing the social aspects. Okay, how firm should you be? How social interactive should you be? Because many cannot take that social thing. If you take the crew out for dinner then they kind of try to take advantage of it at a later stage. They think you're their friend instead of their captain. So the line in between there is something I do believe that every captain is struggling with.
Even heads of departments, chief stews also struggle with that.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You are, after all, a leader and you are, and don't misunderstand me too much, but you are sometimes babysitting. Some people handle it and some don't, and finding a way around it is challenging, at least. Yes, absolutely.
So in terms of feedback, do you do performance appraisals on board to deliver feedback on performance and behavior?
It depends on what yacht you're on. Mm-hmm. If you're under a management company that requires it, you have to do it. But I personally like to do sit down face to face and go through my own checklist with the person and explaining pros and also negative things in my experience, and with feedbacks from the head of departments and trying to highlight both good and more negative sides of a crew member to help them develop. Yeah, mm-hmm. I I do so. And some need 2 times a week and other needs once a year, you know.
Yeah. But I also think it's important that it is fair as well. Like it's
consistent. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And in the industry, there is not many that spends the whole life in the yachting industry.
Mm.
That is something I would like to see more. Yeah. So that both in the purser and hotel department, that people could stay longer, if you know what I mean. It's and that could possibly have been developed with more training, more courses, more acknowledgement of the importance that the job has to everybody.
Or the individual, yeah. I think with regards to turnover, a lot of people leave because of poor leadership and they're so unhappy. And they leave because of money or whatever reasons, but a lot of people leave organizations based on poor leadership.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I do believe feedback and enlightenment is two factors that needs to be looked at in that respect, yes.
So are you open to receiving feedback from your crew?
Well, you have to. You have to, because somebody asked me who was my biggest mentors, and I say mentors you find everywhere, both above you and below you.
Yes, love that.
So it can you can learn something from a fresh deckhand or stewardess that looks at things completely different than what is normal. And actually say that's not the bad idea.
Mm.
So of course, if you're not willing to take criticism or advice or whatever, and look into yourself, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. So another thing I'd love to ask, with regards to being a captain, and from what I've heard from other captains, the journey can be quite isolating and lonely. Mm-hmm. I'm not too sure if this is the case for you, but if it is, how do you get support? Who do you turn to?
Well, that comes, as I said initially, with picking the right crew.
Mm-hmm.
And picking the right crew that can be there to work for you, with you, and help you is important. But yes, as a captain, you are a bit more isolated due to position and the hierarchy. After all, you are the one with the sole responsibility for everybody on board. And it is both a lonely mentally exercise to be, but it's also very rewarding. So and on some long crossings, social interaction with the crew and having good chief stewardesses and pursers that can help you with activating the crew and doing things.
Yes.
Together as a team, as a crew, is a way around it.
Mm.
Competitions, game nights, or having to do something together as a crew, mandatory as such, is something that helps. Of course, you have people that don't like to participate in it. Then you have some people that are lone wolves that prefer their own company and sit down with a book or do some studies or do some training. And luckily now we have a lot of good online options for both educating yourself and keeping yourself entertained. So over the last 10 years, it's become much better. But still, it's important to interact and be social and do things with the crew, I would say, yeah.
Yes, definitely. And over the past 20 years, have you seen a development of mental health issues amongst crew?
Well, at least we have seen a lot of focus on it, I would say particularly in the last 10 years. I have had ships in a fleet I was in where actually people have jumped overboard and disappeared. And looking back at that, it's strange that we didn't see it.
Yes.
At least the people on board. And the worst part is that the person he was married to, one of the officers, and she didn't see it either. So awareness around these things are super important. And I hope I never have to search for a lost crew member again.
So what do you think the preventative measures could be put into place to pick up these early warning signs, and what interventions can we implement?
Well, that, my dear, is what you are supposed to tell me.
No, this is a test.
No, it is those little things, you know. Change your behavior, change your patterns, mood swings. When they get locked into themselves and being aware of persons around you, I've said, yeah. So, but difficult, absolutely.
Yeah, it is. It's not easy. And with regards to living in close quarters, obviously there's going to be interpersonal conflict that you have to address. I promise you, this is my last or second to last question. How do you manage the interpersonal conflict on board if it does arise?
Oh, that's a tricky one. It is all depending what it is. If it's just that somebody is being biatch, or if it's other issues. It can be jealousy, it can be health issues, it can be, well, snoring, who knows. So it's individual from situation to situation, but we do know that is a major part of difficulties on yachts, particularly because you're sharing small cabins, it's easily to getting to develop itself into a escalating situation where the whole crew is suffering from it. So how to deal with it is you need to look at each individual situation. And something that we in the commercial industry is calling root cause analysis. finding the real problem.
That's right.
And how to deal with it.
And not easy.
It could be as harsh as actually dismissing a crew member because so it's serious decisions.
Yeah. But also obviously mediation comes into it, conversations, having self-awareness of our behaviors and how they impact other people. And what I'm noticing based on the advanced leadership course that I run, most of the crew have been in the industry for 8 years and they've said they've never received feedback. And I'm like, oh my goodness, what is going on? Why is this so? And there's a couple of reasons why they don't know how to actually deliver feedback. They're not trained around delivering feedback. It is an art. And also the people receiving feedback, they personalize it and they don't respond well to it. So they need to be trained on how to receive feedback.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And as I said, it all comes down to picking your crew and training them, developing them, and forming them to be the best possible help for the yacht. And obviously there is people that should have never been on yachts. We all know that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I say that a pre-training before getting on board, much more than just a medical fit for duty license, could have been something to look into. Absolutely.
Yes.
So that they know what they are going to. And as I say, the industry is moving forward, and thanks to the likes of yourself and other trainers and educators and such, we are getting better and better tools to help us with that. And that is definitely highly appreciated, because although sometimes a pain in the ass to do, it helps us doing our job.
Absolutely. And I think the value in training around emotional intelligence, you're going to get more engagement, you're going to get an increase in productivity, and you're going to get workplace satisfaction, which will affect the morale as well. So it's also about understanding your crew from a very individual perspective, and understanding what drives them, their values, and looking at communication skills. How are we actually talking to each other? Do you understand what empathy means, compassion? Because these are the basic skills of emotional intelligence. And a lot of people don't. And I think that comes into, as you said, when you do your hiring process, are we asking the right questions, or are we focused just on the hard skills and not looking at the big picture? Because everyone can be trained on how to scrub a teak or be at the helm, you know, cruising a yacht. I think.
Well,
yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely. And there is so many good candidates out there. So that is actually, it's a hidden bonus. And it can be a hidden pitfall. So the awareness around it, and I like the fact that whenever hiring for a department on board, I'm letting the head of that department do the screening, come to me with the top five CVs. And we sit down together to do the interviews, because two heads normally thinks better than one. Notice the normally there. So I believe that doing it that way, you get both the value of that particular head of department to make sure that he or she is getting people that they want. So I know that many is not doing it this way, and many is getting people pushed on from management companies, and you have to take what you get. But there is a lot of good crewing agents out there. There is a lot that are focusing on this as well. Unfortunately, they are not always successful, but the majority of the time, I would say they are. But absolutely, the awareness of let's say hidden talents are becoming more and more important.
Yeah, 100%. So tell me, with regards to attributes that you admire in a leader, can you name three?
Honesty, dedication, and if you need to, will you step on toes? And there, the answer should be yes.
Okay. So what does that mean to you, if you need to?
It means that if you have a good point and you feel that you don't get through with it, it could be that your middle division leader don't want to go forward with it, are you then willing to step on his or her toes to get your point across to where it gets to be heard?
And that obviously takes courage, but do you think that's necessary to have that assertiveness to express your opinion?
Absolutely.
Okay. So what about compromise and finding a win-win outcome? Is that...
No, that is... You said three.
Yeah, I did. But I'm expecting...
Oh, I didn't say what you expected me to say, did I?
No, I'm curious. I love learning. Because I believe... So, as humans, we all think our opinion is the right way. And that's why there's conflict.
Sure, absolutely. And that's why when you have to do those kind of things, you should get up to the next level. I mean, this is line management. Yeah. Mm. So, and line management works as good as the weakest link, as in all situations. So, and sometimes you have a weak link that won't be bothered or don't mind. I don't like that person. I'm not going to say it. So, as you say, bad leader, yes. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it stops. And then to be able then to receive the info you are or that person is trying to get across, and then sitting down with both the door stopper and the person coming with it and negotiating a solution or sometimes you're saying this is how it is. That's both, as you say, compromise and otherwise. But also a thing, flexibility, And that's what's that? Yeah, it's just a different word from compromising.
Yes, I love that word.
So you need to, I would say you need to have a skill of assessing the situation. And then you can compromise and be flexible.
That's it.
So,
note to leave.
All right. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Captain, for your time, sharing your lived experience and your knowledge with us. It's much appreciated. And if our listeners want to vote for you, they can head over to the ACRU 2021 Awards. I think it's called Awards, but you are in the Master Unlimited category.
Yes, that is correct. And thank you very much. That would be highly appreciated. Thank you very much for having me.